Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work integrates research and field experience to prepare professionals to address today's most pressing problems in social justice, health, poverty, families, and global development. Applications are open for the early deadline of December 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Hey, Chicago. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around for a breakdown of the day's top local news stories later on in the podcast. Holiday game nights are a staple in my family, and probably yours too. But before we dive into the conversation you clicked on, In the Loop senior producer Sienna Greaves joins me now. Now, it was her idea to have us let our hair down a bit and play some games on air. Hey, Sienna.
Hey, Sasha. How you doing?
Doing good, and a fabulous idea this was. You know, because I love games. I don't know about you.
Same.
I'm all about it, all about it. I'm super competitive. Can you tell?
No.
Not at all, right?
Not at all.
So instead of sticking to the usual lineup, though, I thought what you did here was interesting, right? Because normally we're playing Monopoly, we're doing charades. But in this conversation, we added a few new contenders to the table. Why did you think that that was important?
I feel with the younger kids in my family, when it comes to, we play a lot of games. We play video games together as a family.
Nice.
We play mobile games as a family. I love old school board games. I love tabletop gaming. I love cards. So, you know, trying to convince a 15-year-old to hang out for 5 hours of Monopoly.
Probably not going to work.
It's not going to work. But something like one of the games that we played today, a game of cat and mouse, where you have, you know, balls that you're trying to get from one side to the other. That's something that's competitive, fun, fast, and everybody can sign
and
on.
And just
to.
So silly, right?
So silly.
It just brings out the inner kid so in silly. All of us. So Action Cats, that's another one of those new games that our guest introduced us to on today's show. I got a chance to play that on air, of course, which folks will hear in just a few moments. I also got a chance off the air to play another one he mentioned, which is Space Battle Lunchtime.
What is Space Battle Lunchtime? What is that?
Honestly, tell Sienna, us. I don't know, because his child, who was very young and was here in studio, was the one teaching me on the side. And I think the game rules kept shifting as we went along, as every little kid does. So I just let him win.
But it was
a fun time. It was a fun time because, as I said, I'm a sucker for any kind of game. But any that you're looking forward to playing?
Spades. And I'm not going to let you in.
Spades. Oh, I want to be there
sister,
so bad.
My eldest sister, Marcia, we are the reigning champions.
If only I could be a fly on the wall.
I've been told we're a little mean. I don't know where that comes from. I just saw losers. But spades
brings out the inner rare in anybody.
I mean, you either know how to play spades or you don't.
Exactly. And if you don't, we're not teaching you.
Exactly.
Awesome. Happy Thanksgiving and happy game playing.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Sasha.
All right. Let the games begin. At the table, we had Aaron Cahoe, who's a local live quiz producer and director of development at the Pritzker Military Museum and Library, and Linnea Dominic, who's an In the Loop producer. I got to dive right in. What are some of your favorite games to play during the holidays?
Well,
Aaron, you first.
I've got a long family tradition. If I didn't play Skip-Bo right growing up, I'd hear from my grandfather.
That's right. Skip-Bo.
I have a Rummikub set, which I brought today with us that I've had since I was 7 years old.
Oh,
played
yes.
that with my father all the time. And you're right, there are a lot of classic board games out there, but now there are more and more and more board games. I mean, any interest that you have, there's probably a board game that matches it these
days. Yeah, back in the day, we used to play Balderdash.
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone remember Balderdash?
Oh, for sure. And there were like variations of Balderdash. Yeah.
I just love those bluffing games. Mm-hmm. Any game that allows me to like lie.
Like this as a reporter, it's your time
fantastic.
Off.
Fantastic. Right. Exactly. It's a day off from journalism where I only tell the truth.
Exactly right.
Linnea, what about standards. You?
Well, first, I am not surprised to hear that you're the reigning champ in your family.
I'm highly competitive and Linnea knows this.
Yes. So my family loves to play cards. I never learned euchre to the consternation of my father. We're a big Midwestern family. I wish I knew euchre, but we'll play 31. There's some game with pennies that I always forget the name of, but we'll be playing that when I go to visit this weekend. But I also love the games like Taboo, Catchphrase, Scattergories, the sort of getting people to guess what you're describing without being able to use the word. I find that very fun.
Yeah, those games allow me to yell, too.
totally.
Another thing.
And like, what are you thinking?
What's wrong with you? The answers are obvious. Right.
Exactly.
You get out that hidden family frustration in a very helpful and productive way.
Yes, it's therapy.
Exactly right.
Tell us more, Aaron, about why we do this. What are some of the benefits of gaming?
Well, it's a way to connect, and it's a way to, one, either turn your brain off or turn your brain on, depending on what you want from the evening. There are games where you can just sit and play, like one of the games we're going to be playing together. It's very, very simple. It's basically a conceptual game, and it's just an excuse to have that fun interaction and use that part of your brain that you don't get to use in the rest of your day. But also, it's a little bit more structured. It's not everybody just staring at their screens and consuming the media that they love, which
that's
we get to
thing.
Do all the other times. But here, you're gathering, might as well get to know your family in a new way by, you know, interacting in a way that you don't normally interact.
So give us some new games for those of us who want to try some new games and haven't quite moved past Monopoly. give us a quick list of some games that we can try.
Well, I am a father of a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. So a lot of the games in my sphere right now are geared towards them.
Okay.
Some games that we love in our family right now is Hoot Owl Hoot. It's a very simple.
Sounds like a hoot.
It is. And it's one of those games you can play with the kids sitting on your lap or they can sit next to you and have their own turn. But it's a very simple game where you're trying to get all of the owls to the nest before the sun rises. It's cooperative. You're playing together. There's another game that we're playing. We just played this past week called Space Battle Lunchtime.
Okay.
You are competing against alien chefs to build dishes based off different cards that you have. It's a very quick game to pick up.
I want the job of the person who names these games.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Because the world is open. Up and Kickstarter is a thing and people can, you know, more readily produce things. There are more and more things out there. So you're going to get a lot of different game titles and you're getting a lot of different game focuses. Like I have some friends in the industry and a game that they are really excited about right now was called Chicago 68. It is a tabletop game based off the Democratic National Convention.
Sounds like fun.
Well, for some people it is. And it turns out the people who didn't even think they were going to enjoy the game are really having fun with it. So, you know, there's a lot of variety out there.
Well, Linnea, you're here for a special purpose because
I am.
I hear you have thoughts when it comes to learning new games. You don't particularly love it. So you're our resident hater in this conversation.
I love it in theory. I really do.
Tell me more. Who hurt you?
Well, I'll take you there. So her name is, I'm not going to say it on air, but she knows who she is. There's this beautiful game. It's about birds, maybe Red Wing or something.
Okay.
The board itself is really beautiful. I thought I was going to love it because I love birds. I love nature. She spent 20 minutes describing the rules. And by that time, I'm like, I'm done. I want to do something else. Like, you cannot take 20 minutes to describe the rules to me. It's just not going to happen. Like, after dinner, you're full. You've had a drink or two. You expect
me
to be able
to. Not to mention the tryptophan. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, no, not happening. Not happening.
You know what? I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. I am the one that's often teaching others, you know, how to play a particular game. Sometimes if I do want to jazz it up and I'm like, okay, forget the Pictionary and the Balderdash this year. Let's try this thing. But if I have to explain it to you more than once, it's not going to be pretty.
Right.
It's not fun for anyone at that point.
I lose all patience at that point. So if I was paired up with you and it took me 20 minutes to get it, I see why you would be a hater as well. Let's get into some games. Before we talk about a really cool live game that you created, Aaron, that is
out and about and available across Chicago. Pop quiz hot shot.
It is. You've been a panelist.
I've been a panelist. Yeah. We'll chat more about that, but wonderful. I want to talk about what's right in front of the two of you right now.
Deal. Yeah.
It's a game of cat and mouth.
A game of cat and mouth. So back in the day, there was this webcomic, and it still does a little bit, called The Oatmeal. In 2015, they did a Kickstarter called Exploding Kittens, which is a card-based game. And from there, they've just been making a lot of games. One of them is the game before us. It is a game of cat and mouth. I'll try to my best to
and
explain
that's
it.
Mouth. M-O-U-T-H.
Not hand in mouth.
Right. No. Again, as a father of small children, I avoid that at all costs. So it is basically a little pinball-ish game with a catapult cat arm. We have four yellow balls each. In the middle is a cat's mouth. It has a face with a black nose and three white balls for teeth.
Okay.
The game is to launch these balls to the other side of the thing. And as soon as you get all of the one color of balls, whether it's the four yellow, the three white teeth, or the one black nose, then you win the round.
Okay.
Best out of five
rounds. That sounds incredibly easy.
Right. Uh-huh. There's just one other rule. If a ball goes out of the playing field, we have to yell, wait for it, pause. And we pause the game.
That's cute.
And then we
get
the balls back in the play, and then we go. So
all right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I am playing with my left hand.
All right, here we go. Three, two, one, and go. Oh, I got a yellow one in. Two yellow ones in. I've played this with my kids too much.
Left hand playing is hard.
Aaron is in the lead, folks.
So we haven't hit any of the white teeth or the black nose yet. But again, this game says it's seven plus.
Oh, Linnea, great shot.
Thank you. I got one white one in there. But I have a three-year-old, a four-year-old now, excuse me, that plays it and loves it.
Things are getting messy, folks.
And then, I got it all the way
through.
Yes,
very
did.
Good. There's no more tooth.
Right. Now the cat is missing. Oh, pause.
Gotta get the yellow ball.
Aaron is now fetching the yellow ball.
Okay, there we go.
And it's back.
We're close to ending this round. Here we go. Oh, come on. See if you get the black
come
nose.
Come on, Linnea.
Come on.
Make us proud.
The black nose, okay.
I did it!
Black nose, yes!
There we go!
Linnea hit the black nose and wins round one.
Yeah, so Linnea goes up to 1 point, and then we just keep playing until we hit to five.
Oh, no, I need to see another round.
Another round?
I need to see
another
round.
This is too much. But I just won. Can't we leave it like that?
No, because we've got to give Aaron, our guest, we've got to give him a chance.
Well, I do school
the poor guy. He brought the game.
All right, so we got four yellow balls on each side, the white teeth in the right place, and the white nose.
All right.
There we go.
Here we go.
Nope.
Oh. Oh.
All right, here we go. And three, two, one. Wah! Oh, no.
Come on,
and
Linnea.
The cool thing about this game is it works with magnets, so there's a really nice spring to the cat's arm here.
Yes. There is.
And it's also one of those affordable games. You can.
There you go, Aaron.
Pay, pause.
There we go.
Pause.
Get the yellow ball. You know, you can pay what you want for board games, but this one, I think, is around $20. So it's a pretty simple thing.
Oh, that's also reasonable.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
It's easy to set up. Any age play, you get your grandparents playing this, and they're the black
there
ball
we
again.
Go.
There we go.
Linnea wins again. Okay, yeah, so Aaron,
okay, you might be changing my mind.
Applause.
I like this game.
So, are you convinced now? Tell me how that felt for you.
It was thrilling.
Right?
It was thrilling.
It was thrilling.
I mean, did you feel like you were able to get the instructions pretty easily?
There's not
for
much
this one?
To get here.
Right. If not, we should ask some serious questions. Yeah.
We should ask some serious questions.
I would play this in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, I kind of felt left out there. So in a moment, I do want to play something with you. But
please,
let's go back to the game you created here in the city of Chicago. It's called Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Aaron, tell us more about it and why even compelled you to start this?
Well, honestly, it was my time here at WBEZ. I spent 9 years here, both working on membership drives and also rubbing shoulders with the excellent reporters that walk these halls.
Loved working
and
with you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I wasn't fishing, but I'll take it. And of course, Patrick Smith, who we have revealed to be excellent behind the mic when he's not talking about criminal justice and the excellent show coming up, Say More. But, you know, we would do these fundraising and we'd turn the mics off and I'd sit across from Patrick and I'd sit across from you and other reporters and just see how wonderful the personalities came across, something you don't normally might not get to do
yes.
in the reporting job. And also at the same time, I got fascinated with British quiz shows, which is a whole
who doesn't
sub-genre,
love
right?
British anything, really. Baking
no,
show,
for
quiz
sure,
show.
Yeah, Anglophile through and through. And I thought to myself, I really want to see a show like this. I wish we had one. And my friend Alex Blanchett said, you need to stop talking about it and start doing it. So
yes.
together we put the show together. And it's at the Lincoln Lodge. We have a show coming up in December. It's our biggest show. We have a writer from last week tonight. We have some
amazing.
Other journalists around. Monica Ng is going to be the first-time
nice.
Panelist. And we just set aside an hour and a half to not think about the headlines and just laugh and enjoy
each
other.
It is such a good time. You've invited me, what, twice to do Pop Quiz Hotshot. And I've had a fantastic time because, number one, it being at the Lincoln Lodge, I feel like a comedian.
No,
I feel
for
like,
sure.
I feel like it's amateur night and I'm on stage and I get to finally be me and just like not be the serious news lady. So that's like number one for me. And number two, Aaron, there are no, it seems, right answers.
No. I mean, there are right answers. Some people play to win. Some people play for fun. Everybody walks away
It's just funny. Just like punchlines. You don't know the answer. Who cares? It's just super neat. Would you partake in something like this? Linnea, you've got a live audience in front of you. So
I'd give it a try.
And
I definitely want to come.
Sometimes they're under the influence and they're drinking.
Okay, that sounds fun. That sounds fun.
So they're a little, you know, they're fun.
Comedy sometimes needs a little oil.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into another game because I want to play too. That looked like way too much fun. This one's called Action Cats.
Yes, it is.
A cat theme today.
It is. Accidentally, I brought, I don't know, 15 games because I can.
But related to cats?
Yeah, we went to the cats ones because I thought we'd play better on air. So Action Cats is very, very simple. It is a card game. On one side of the cards, you have not endless because, you know, there's a set amount of cards, but just picture after picture of some very cute cats that were submitted. Some cats in Christmas trees, some cat in a very tiny kitten in a space helmet.
I love an internet cat.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of the card, there are a black top and a white top when you flip the card over. And the first part is the white part is the first part of a sentence and the black part is the second part of a sentence.
I see.
And the way you play is we have a judge. Saucer, you're going to be our judge. You're going to pick a cat for Linnea and I to describe.
Okay.
And then I am going to shuffle these cards right here, deal four to Linnea and myself. Here we go. One,
thank you.
Two, three, four. And then Linnea and I are going to be competing for your approval, Sasha.
Okay.
So you're already the winner.
So
you're going to show us your cat.
I've picked a cat.
Please.
Here's
can
my
you describe
cat.
It for our listeners?
This cat is a little black and white kitty that's got mostly black, a little white patch on her neck.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting inside of what looks like a linen closet.
Right.
Hiding,
exactly where a cat should be.
Hiding from the family.
Right.
So take it away.
A distinguished tuxedo. So
a
now,
tuxedo cat.
The competitors are going to pick the first part of a sentence and the last part of a sentence to describe this cat. And then we're going to embellish that description until Sasha picks a winner. So we're going to take some time here to read our cards. Oh, well, that's an easy pick.
Let's see it. Okay.
There's my cat in her tuxedo.
All right. So I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So I'm going to start off if you don't mind.
Please.
So Sasha, that cat right there is an infamous pirate and has already sold the movie rights to their story. So that's my beginning description.
Okay. That's a good one.
However, they are doing so beyond the grave. They are doing this posthumously.
So what are your two things there?
Yes.
So you start off with a white and then a black.
Uh-huh. Okay. So forget what I just said.
Okay.
Okay. So we are going to say that they love the Chicago handshake.
Okay.
They have expensive wire-framed glasses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That looks like my cat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you have to pick between the two of us, and now we try to, you know, basically embellish our story so that you would pick our cat. And I would say that my infamous pirate cat is not the bad type of pirate. They're a Robin Hood type of pirate.
Oh yeah.
They
we
are
love
stealing
those.
From the resourced and giving to the unresourced.
Okay.
You would say
in
public
and
radio terms.
What else can you share about Mr. Wire brimmed glasses?
Loves a podcast.
Oh,
which is good.
Oh, loves which podcast?
Our podcast.
In the Loop.
That's right.
Winner.
Oh, there we go.
Winner. Action Cats, ladies and gentlemen.
So, you know, it's a very simple game. There are no real rules. Anybody can play this. You can read this to your kids who can't read
this
yet.
This is a
you
cute
know.
One. And you get some cute cats to look at, too. Some cute little kittens. So we talked about all the classics. We got some new games. Any video games or mobile games to play in groups that you'd recommend real quick?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are, off the top of my head, the Jackbox games are really, really good. You can get a set of those. They have five games in them. You bring out your phones to help play. There are different levels of engagement, different rules that can apply across generations to forward promote to the
across
next show.
Across generations.
Indeed.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's leave it there. I think, Linnea, that a future In the Loop game night it's got to be in the works, right? Is someone working on that? I'm getting thumbs up in the control room.
You can join us too, Aaron.
You're invited.
Oh, please. I host it at our house. How about that?
Absolutely. Well, happy Thanksgiving, folks. In the Loop producer, Linnea Dominic, and Aaron Cahoe, who's a local live quiz producer. Check out Pop Quiz Hot Shot next month. And he's director of development at the Pritzker Military Museum and Library. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open for the early deadline of December 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Right now, let's break down the top local stories of the day. At the table was WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane, In the Loop executive producer Daniel Tucker, and WBEZ sports contributor Cheryl Ray Stout. Now, I started with the elephant in the room because everybody is out of town. So I asked the panelists, why are we still here? Dan kicked things off.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everyone that I know is heading out of town, but I just happened to just be traveling from Humble Park to Lyle. So, you know, depending on the traffic, could be pretty long. But, you know, I'll be in the Chicago area this Thanksgiving.
What's your excuse, Claire?
I'm going to Old Town.
So far.
That's just one stop.
I might go see
Patrick Smith and Logan. Who knows what's in store for me?
I am staying home in South Shore. So I'm going to my couch.
All right. Nice.
Kitchen to couch.
Cheryl?
I make a big dinner. I do the turkey. I do it all myself. Homemade mashed potatoes.
Nice.
Stuffing, you know. I go to town.
Have you started yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because it's getting late, Cheryl.
Well, I have my turkey is de-thawing. I've made pumpkin bread already. Pumpkin pie, you know.
Works. Nice.
I came home yesterday to the sweetest smells in the home, and it was lovely because my husband's a chef, and you know,
must be nice.
It's nice, yes. However, he's been sick since like the weekend, so I was like, oh no, this is going to be bad news for me. However, I walked into the home, and a peach cobbler was there, and you know, some cornbread and the sweet potatoes were in the oven, so I think there's some candied yams coming up. It's looking good. Thanksgiving's looking bright for me. Let's turn to a lawsuit, Claire, because it feels like, yes, another day, another lawsuit here in this state, this one targeting the Trump administration. Why don't you fill us in on what this is all about?
Right. So a coalition of 20 states, yes, including Illinois, filed this lawsuit yesterday to prevent the Trump administration from drastically changing a housing program that the lawsuit is saying illegally upends support for tens of thousands of Americans who experience homelessness or who are experiencing homelessness. The lawsuit is accusing the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development of changing what it's called a continuum of care grant program by reducing the amount of grant funds and putting a sort of new conditions that are limiting access to funding for people. So Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul said in a statement the administration has embraced policies that risk trapping people in poverty. And Raoul says in Illinois that he's trying to prioritize efforts to build more affordable and more permanent supportive housing and promote financial stability for people. Mm-hmm. So that's the gist of this lawsuit, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah. Well, Dan, Congresswoman Robin Kelly has introduced a new bill. This one focuses on maternal health. Give us the story.
Yeah. So this is called the Wells Act, and it's named for Mercedes Wells. Probably a lot of people have seen at least a head headline about this story, but Mercedes Wells is a mother from South Suburban Dalton, and she went to the Franciscan Health Center to give birth in Crown Point on the 16th of November. She said that she was in labor. The doctor would not see her. The nurse then turned her away, forced her to leave the building. She went back into her truck with her husband, started driving to try to see, you know, maybe they could go somewhere else. And within 8 minutes, she had to give birth.
8 minutes.
Her husband, who, you know, doesn't know exactly what he's doing there, had to be the person helping her. And it was a very traumatic experience. So Congresswoman Kelly, who represents parts of the South Side and South Suburbs, she has the Wells Act, which will urge hospitals and birthing centers to develop and implement a safe discharge plan. So that'll include things like a clinical justification for why someone's being let out of the hospital, assessment of how far someone would need to drive to get to another, you know, hospital or birthing center, backup plans, proof of reliable transportation, those sorts of things.
Yeah, and it's needed, Dan, because, you know, this story, when I saw the Mercedes Wells story, it really struck me because it came about a week or so after I saw lots of people on social media just outraged about what happened to a woman in Texas. So there was a video that went viral on TikTok of a black woman seemingly being ignored by a nurse. She's like clearly in labor. She's literally screaming as she's going through the contractions. A very tough 90 seconds to watch. And she was also minutes away from giving birth at this hospital in the Dallas area. And so a lot of calls now in that state from, you know, state reps and just also from, you know, locals just saying, hey, we need some legal action here as well. So it seems like these are one-off examples, Dan, but this is a huge problem. Black maternal health has been something we've talked about on the program certainly for a number of years now.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been an issue for Robin Kelly for a long time.
Right.
And I just want to bring up one thing that Mercedes Wells said yesterday to the press, because she is speaking out about this to try to raise awareness. Good. Obviously, working with the congressman, she said, quote, I felt unheard. I felt ignored. I felt treated less than human. So this was obviously a very traumatic experience. Congresswoman Kelly has called this a systemic issue. You know, she wasn't blaming specifically Franciscan Health. And Franciscan Health has said, you know, the doctor and the nurse involved in this have already been fired. And there's already a new discharge plan in place for their specific location. So at least there's been some action there.
Right.
But you mentioned, you know, maternal mortality and maternal health.
Yes.
We did get some data yesterday from the Illinois Department of Public Health. And one of the top lines is that 91% of all deaths during birth or within the first year afterwards are preventable. So that's a pretty big number that we have to work on. But I think the biggest takeaway there is that there continue to be stark racial disparities when you look at the data.
Happens to black women a lot more. And why does that continue to be the case?
Yeah. One fact that I'll just throw out there. Black women in Illinois, more than twice as likely to die from any pregnancy-related condition and three times as likely to die from pregnancy-related medical conditions than white women. So that's in Illinois.
Yeah.
And we've seen, you know, as you mentioned, we've covered this on the show before. This data kind of tracks with what we've been seeing over the last 5, 10 years.
It does. I'm glad Representative Kelly is still focused and still determined to get us some solutions here for sure. Cheryl, let's pivot to the Chicago Architecture Center, because they've got a new study out and it talks about how stadiums can benefit from the surrounding communities that they're in. Can you tell us more?
Well, that's happening definitely around Wrigley Field, because once the Ricketts took over Wrigley Field and they made Gallagher Way, and they've included a lot of activities throughout the year, you know, not just the baseball games, but they have the Winter Wonderland. They have a lot of activity going on there. And so that's, it's a go-to place.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about my voice. I was at the Paul McCartney concert last night.
Having a good old time.
How was it?
Right.
Fabulous. I mean, 2.5 hours of unbelievable entertainment. It was,
and you screaming at the top of your lungs, it seems.
Well, my husband surprised me and got his tickets on the floor.
Wow.
Out of the press box for once.
Good point.
I didn't know where to go.
So the Architecture Center, you know, their study is basically saying the crux is that, you know, they're looking at our Wrigley Field and Lakeview as the Chicago model. they call it. And it says, it creates a bustling, these stadiums create a bustling neighborhood throughout the year, not just game days or when sports teams are in season. Is that the idea?
Yes. And up in Northwestern, where they're having their new stadium being built, they are going to do the same thing. They're going to have stuff going on during different times of the year. So I think that's what the Bears want to do at Arlington Heights, mm-hmm. is make that a full complex of shops.
Yes.
Concerts will be there. There will be a lot of businesses will be booming around there. So I know that that's what a lot of people don't want to hear in the area, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Dan and Claire, what do you think?
I think it depends a lot on if you have the infrastructure to support something like that. As someone who can walk to Wrigley Field, mm-hmm. that's really different than someone who is potentially taking a train to a bus, mm-hmm. which you can still do at Wrigley and places like Boston. But if you look at a lot of the stadiums like in Texas, these aren't connected. There's no divvy docks.
That's true.
Right. So how are people really going to get somewhere?
They're in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
With Wrigleyville, the neighborhood was already there. The stadium was right in the middle of the neighborhood. But
walkability was already a huge factor.
Yeah, with
factor.
Some of these other places, like if we're considering the Chicago Fire plan for the 78 or Arlington Heights with the Bears, that's a blank slate. So they would kind of need to develop a neighborhood or a feel from scratch and a vibe that they want to create. And then on the flip side for Wrigleyville, I know there are people that are very critical of what, the team has done there, just changing the neighborhood, changing the character of the neighborhood, mm-hmm. making it more for tourists or just the baseball fans and people coming in,
yes.
less for the people from the neighborhood. So yeah, I think you have to look at both sides.
I've definitely gone to Wrigleyville and thought, oh, wow, this is a bad day to not be wearing Cubs gear.
Right.
I just felt so
felt left out.
Yes, totally. Dan, you've got an update on the Indiana redistricting. What is the latest?
Yeah. So, as people know, redistricting typically happens after the census, but it's well between censuses right now. The next one's not for another 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all because President Trump a few months ago started pressuring Republican-led states to change the rules and redistrict so that the Republicans could have an advantage in this upcoming midterm. Several states have done this. Texas, Missouri, North Carolina. Looks like there could be about seven seats picked up across those states.
Okay.
Indiana had been a holdout for a while. There's a thought that Indiana could flip two Democratic seats from blue to red, mm-hmm. to the Republicans. And Indiana was holding out, but now it seems the winds have shifted. There likely is going to be a vote on the 1st of December in the House over there in Indiana. And then on the 8th, it could go to the Senate. So we could see them doing a vote. It's unclear if there's enough support, even among Republicans.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What else are you watching, Claire?
These are some kind of interesting pitches that I got this week. Cheryl, you can weigh in if you want because they're sports related. And they're about money. So one of them was that study data found that Chicago Bears fans paying the most money in the NFL to follow their teams on the road.
I believe it.
This includes, flights, hotels, resale tickets, even the price of a beer or a hot dog in each stadium. But apparently the Bears are ranked fourth, in that their fans are willing to spend almost $13,000 per season to attend away games,
oh, wow.
which is kind of funny. And then the other is that Bulls fans, sort of on the contrary, have the third cheapest parking in the NBA.
You can
apparently, according to this study data, spend less than $10 to have your vehicle parked within walking distance of the United
Center. And that's why I love me a Bulls game. Cheryl?
Easy in, easy out, Cheryl.
I have free parking, so
rat show off.
The one thing about Bears fans, a year ago, they wouldn't be traveling with the Bears. This year, of course, they're going to be traveling with the Bears because of the way they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there are also a lot of Bears fans that live in various cities that has the teams. And you can see that, when they go to Europe, when they've gone to London, you see the fans from Chicago will travel to London
right.
for that.
Yes.
It's a big deal for them.
Yeah. Well, let's stick with the Bears, Cheryl, while you're in the hot seat, because yes, they face off against the Philadelphia Eagles Friday at 2:00. Both teams right now, as you said, they're hot. They're at 8-3. The Eagles, though, we know are the defending Super Bowl champs. So how big of a challenge is this going to be for the Bears?
It's a big one because it's a short work week. They've only had 2 walkthroughs, and today the Bears will have a regular practice. That's not a lot of time. But the way they've been playing, the way they're
their offense can get points when they need it. They have a solid running game, the Bears do, but they're going against a very, very formidable Eagles team that has a defensive coordinator that Bear fans remember. Vic Fangio is their defensive coordinator, and he knows how to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so the Bears offensive line, which is really gelled, has to protect Caleb Williams. Plus, Caleb Williams has to get rid of the ball when he needs to. And he's done that pretty much, except for the end zone fumble last week.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, I'm concerned because they had several players out with injuries. So are they back?
Right now, no. One went on injured reserve. A couple of them were not available to practice if they did have a practice yesterday. So what you're seeing is these backups, and they played very well last week, and they need to do it again. Again, a short work week.
Yeah.
Not a lot of time. But what they did last week, the Bears coaching staff knew that this could happen, and so those backups got a lot of play. Now, there is a possibility that Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon could be back.
Okay.
Because I think that's why they were held out last Sunday and could play this Friday.
Well, I mean, the Bears are hot, Dan. Are you going to watch?
Oh, well, I mean, people may know. Well, I don't know if they know.
Are you a fan?
I grew up in the Philly area. So, you know,
grew up
as an Eagles fan.
Oh, right. Right.
But every time there's a, I've been in Chicago for a long time. Every time there's a Chicago-Philadelphia matchup, I've got to keep an eye on that. And then I take advice from my son, my 8-year-old, who says, well, we root for both.
You know? You root for both. You got to pick one, Dan. It's not the favorite kid argument.
I don't want to frustrate the family or the friends.
Well, you think they're listening right now, the Eagles? And
they could be.
They're going to think you're a traitor. Cheryl, Caleb, let's talk more about him because I've heard ups and downs with him, but it sounds like he's winning everyone over. I do wonder if he's at the point though where he can be the franchise quarterback that the Bears have been looking for all these years.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
He is ascended because of Ben Johnson. When they hired the right coach in Ben Johnson, those two really click. And Ben Johnson has no problem getting into Caleb's face, and Caleb listens, and he takes that information, and he's progressed. And, you know, you're not going to see a big breakthrough game, but you've seen these games where he knows how to win now. He knows how to get what he needs to get done. But also they had to have a good running game. Once they established the running game with Kyle Menungai and DeAndre Swift, it allowed Caleb to do the play action pass, which he's very good at.
Nice. Well, we'll all be watching. That's WBEZ's Cheryl Ray Stout, Dan Tucker, and Claire Lane.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Sienna Greaves, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.